Grace for Parents. Before I had children, how might I fill in that blank? There are so many possible responses. I was thinner. I was more rested. I had time for myself. And I assumed a lot about children and parenting that ain't necessarily so. For instance, I thought the toddler throwing a temper tantrum at the grocery store was an indication of poor parenting skills. I thought the adolescent who did drugs received inadequate parental supervision. I was sure that the young adult who committed suicide had not known enough love at home. But it only took a few days of parenting to begin to feel quite differently about much of this. My tiny child communicated quite unmistakably that she would not be controlled. Of course, I had already learned through the loss of my first baby that we parents have very little control over our children. This new little one merely reinforced that message. She was her own person. And as she grew and developed, it became increasingly clear that she was independent, difficult, strong-willed. Use whatever phrase you like. I settled on contrary. The illusion that I have complete control over my child was quickly shattered. I could see very early on that my child was not an extension of me. Call it a premature defense, but based on these revelations, I have distanced myself somewhat from total personal responsibility for my children's actions, for the mistakes they make along life's way, for how they turn out. And since becoming a parent, I have observed other parents with new, more compassionate eyes. At a Christian denominational convention not long ago, I watched and listened as a newly selected leader was introduced from the platform. Beside him were his devoted wife and his three attractive children, the oldest of whom, with his own wife and baby in tow, was a missionary himself. They were the perfect family, whose introduction implied that this was the result of the leader's faithfulness to God, commitment to family, and generally high moral standards. Fantastic. Yet the whole scene made me uncomfortable. So what was wrong with this lovely picture? Wouldn't we all want to enjoy such a perfect family? Well, even assuming that everything said and seen was true, that the man was genuine, the marriage is healthy, and the children happy, was this all the logical, guaranteed result of faithfulness to God? Seated near me were two sets of parents whom I had known for some time. I knew that over the years, they had been faithful to God and dedicated to family, and yet their families were plagued with the imperfections of health concerns, along with disappointment in children and grandchildren who had made imperfect decisions that had brought great heartache to many. What was the message to them that day? If only they had done more, had done better, had been perfect, they too would be able to parade their offspring on stage for all to admire. I have seen many families from which some children grow into terrific people, model citizens, men and women of faith, while others are failures, great disappointments. I have seen many examples of wonderful parents, godly individuals, who have done all one could to instruct, discipline, and provide an example whose child makes one bad choice or a long series of them, which leads to a life directly opposed to that of their parents. Perhaps I once would have blamed the parents. Not anymore. Each individual makes their own choices, and some bad things do just happen. Children's imperfection can take many forms: appearance, abilities, choices, and actions. My suffering over children has thus far been small. My children are still young. There is surely potential for my children's future failure, whether academically or in relationships or financially. When my children aren't perfect, in small ways or great, I need grace from others, not their judgment. How easy it is to judge and assume something is wrong with the parents if children are not doing right. It's bad enough that the parents should suffer the trials of their children without feeling judged or guilty. In Proverbs 17:25, it says, "A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him." There is no greater anguish than that of a parent for his or her child, whether the suffering is a result of the child's choices or not. As David prayed, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish." Psalm 25:16-17. I need the message that God loves me, whether my children are perfect or not. I need God's compassion. I need God to clear me of misplaced feelings of guilt and responsibility. When I hurt because of my children, I need God's mercy and strength. Fortunately, God, our Father, is there to help. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. Psalm 37:39. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of my precious children. I know that they are not perfect, and during their lives, they will probably know trouble. They will surely make mistakes. They may disappoint me. Help me not to be too hard on myself when this happens. Have mercy on me when my heart breaks because of my children. Give your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to me at these times. And give me, too, compassion for those who are struggling parents who come to mind today. May I not judge, but rather comfort and support. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.